You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
The numbers came in, Stugatz, and we had a busy sports time the last couple of days, but the WNBA draft did more than 2 million viewers. I told you the other day, Curb Your Enthusiasm on Max did 1.1 million its last night for one of the most successful runs in the history of television, for one of the most successful writers in the history of television, for the WNBA draft to double that number in a fractured, different time for where people get their stuff. And it's hard to sit people down in front of something and get their time when you want it at 2 million people. But the draft brought giant numbers.
I'm going to be super interested, and David, I'd be interested in your opinion on this, on if it carries forward, if this is momentum or a flash in the pan.
Okay, but
Dan, I've been celebrating it for 2 weeks. Okay, I'm just asking that question. No,
Before we get to just questioning whether they can do it, let's just stop for a moment and have David's analysis on what it means that out of nowhere we have these kinds of numbers that don't have a precedent for a sport and something just blossoming right in front of you.
It was a fascinating dichotomy when you saw the numbers for the WNBA draft and then you saw the numbers for the Masters final round, and you see two sports potentially going in different directions. And then when you compare the WNBA draft numbers blowing away Major League Baseball's draft, the NHL draft, and you're thinking to yourself, is this all Caitlin Clark? And if it is, what do they do to continue this? And you heard the commissioner of the WNBA say, we're looking at expansion. Well, they've been looking at expansion for years, but now they're really going to get serious about it once the Bay Area team starts. They're going to try to get even potentially to South Florida. So what the WNBA is doing now, we're going to see with the broadcast deal. And we talked about it on the Sporting Class with John Skipper. If they're still a part of the NBA deal, then the WNBA and all this talk about how they are a standalone entity, then I won't be buying it. If they go out on their own and announce a TV deal that doubles the value, which was pinned at $60 million as part of the NBA deal, if they can really get double that on their own, then you're talking about meaningful change to the value of the teams and to the value of the league in general. So it's an incredibly exciting time because this is it. This is their moment. They hadn't seen numbers like this. It beat the 2004 draft with Diana Taurasi, which got 600,000. So this, we are seeing a different world.
A couple things. First, I don't think it's necessarily true to say it came out of nowhere, because the draft viewership has increased over the past 4 years, especially like the bubble season for the WNBA, when they put a lot more games on TV, was when a lot of this huge growth for the WNBA started. And while the number from this Monday night was obviously a lot huger than it was last year, it's been going up every year. The second thing, which I think like a lot of people back here were surprised that, like, it, you know, it's a pretty big number, a couple million people watched. The WNBA has finally embraced the draft as an event. And I think, you know, Billy, it's not sexist to say that they need a clock, by the way.
Yeah.
But they had ticketed fans this year. They got rid of the dress code, which I think stifled a lot of players' ability to express themselves and to make it a fashion show the way the NFL draft is. Like, I know when I watch the NFL draft and I see players coming in like their suits and their outfits, I'm always like, that's some of the most shared stuff you'll see on social media that night. And so I think that has a large part to do with it. And I don't think it's all Caitlin Clark. I do think that Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, Camila Cardoso, there's a number of players that I think are really driving the attention because we've gotten used to seeing them play in college for 4 years, and we've gotten more used to seeing more games on TV. Like, the number of games both in college and the WNBA that have been on TV have basically like equally correlated to more viewership.
But we're in a different world now. Last year they had 570,000 people watch the draft. That's nice. But a step up from 570 to 2 million is just, you can't plan that. You don't expect to have growth like that. And that's not explained by increased exposure of games or knowledge of more players or a change of dress code. That could be a total sea change.
I didn't say that.
Every part of the business.
Those were the only reasons why. I'm just explaining that it didn't come out of nowhere because the interest level has been increasing for years, which I think correlates with people being able to actually watch the games on TV. And we've already, I don't think I need to repeat the same things we've been saying for like 3 months about why I think Caitlin Clark has come in at the perfect time for this to happen, but there's a number of factors that go into it, and her stardom and her style of play I think is one of the biggest factors, but we've already talked about it 15 times, so I didn't mention it again.
What I'm excited for is May 14th. I think that is her first nationally televised game, and there's going to be a lot of eyes both watching the game and looking at the numbers. And if you see numbers that day, I did a wait to see, Jessica, I'm curious what you would think. There'll be more people watching that game than watching the Braves Mets on Sunday night on ESPN. And that would have been unheard of. There could be more people watching that game than who watched the Masters, the final round, which I think nobody thought would be possible. What kind of number do you expect from their first nationally televised game?
I don't know, but I mean, I think it's going to be huge. And I think that, you know, it's not a flash in the pan. I think that, like, this is part of the growth you're seeing in women's sports has been proven in other women's sports as well, with the NWSL signing a huge rights deal last year that really upped their valuation. And this is part of the reason that, you know, they brought in Kathy Engelbert to be the commissioner, because she's overseen a pretty momentous time for the WNBA. They're expanding next year. They're going to have to keep expanding, which she talked about ahead of the draft. And I mean, it's just like you said, the CBA is coming up. They can opt out in 2025, and there's going to be a renewed rights negotiation in 25. So it's a huge opportunity. Hopefully that, you know, the WNBA is up for the task and up for the challenge of like meeting it where it is. I think there's also like the added element of, you know, certain owners in the WNBA willing to, like Mark Davis, literally invest a lot in the team and make it a place where free agents want to play. And it's no surprise that they've now won back-to-back championships. They've built a dedicated facility for the Aces to play in. You're seeing similar things in Seattle with them landing free agents because of their practice facilities. And so I think like some of the owners that aren't putting that into it need to step up and do that as well. Chartered flights is obviously something we've talked about a lot on this show as well. Some of the owners are for it. Some of the owners don't want to do it. So there's a lot going on kind of behind the scenes that I think this moment, it's like everyone who watches the sport is ready for them to like take the leap. And it happens slowly. Like, it's happened slowly over the last few years, right? Like, Caitlin Clark's rookie salary is more than it would have been if she entered the league during the last CBA. And it's less than it would have been if she were joining the league during the next CBA. It's going up. And I think that, you know, it's just a huge moment for the WNBA, and I really hope that they seize it.
These are major leaps, though. So, David, I have no doubt that first game is going to do a massive number. But what I do wonder about is game 6, game 8, game 10. Are those games going to do a massive number? I don't know, to be honest with you.
It's the biggest question they're facing, and that's when I talk about, is it a flash in the pan? Is it sustainable? Because you try to have a company which grows, and you try to grow at a consistent rate, because the concern is if you grow at such a huge rate really quickly, you cannot sustain that, and then expectations are really not met. And I worry with the WNBA, as with any business that has this sort of moment, if you don't take advantage of it or it doesn't work.
Right.
It actually puts you in a worse place than you would have been had you just continued the growth that Jessica was talking about prior to this year, which was incremental. So that's why game 6 and 8 are actually way more important than game 1. What happens when people are getting used to seeing it? Do they keep watching?
But the college basketball WNBA calendar works in their favor, correct? Because you're riding the high of March Madness, then you go right into the draft, and then the season starts shortly after the draft. So people don't have that much time to get distracted by other things. So if you still have that excitement from March Madness, from Caitlin getting drafted, first game is a month from now, it sounds like.
It's literally a perfect storm. There is no break. You have to feel for these players. They get out of the tournament and then right to the draft, right to training camp. I think training camp starts April 25th or so, and then right into the first game, May 12th. No offseason whatsoever. That is taxing on athletes playing year-round, and women have been forced to do that. It's well-documented in order to supplement their income. It eventually can get to your body. So that's another thing to watch is the health of these players.
What's the movie you're reviewing for us this week?
Can we spend some time talking about Girl State? It's a perfect movie to review. Did anyone watch it on Apple TV?
Haven't seen
it. Documentary. So it's a movie. I didn't know this existed. The American Legion apparently has a program. And I reviewed Boys State on Nothing Personal this morning. And now Girl State. Girl State is a program of women where they send in Missouri or states around the country where they have a political learning camp. It's not a sports camp. You go and you get elected governor or attorney general or Supreme Court. It's a 1 week intense training program where women or boys or girls learn to be politicians and they learn to argue issues. And I was taken aback by the inequality of Girl State versus Boys State. And we talk about inequality on so many different levels. Well, now it has seeped down to the level of high school, where the Boys State program with American Legion is hugely financed and supported, and the Girls State is barely financed at all. The rules are way more strict. The ability for them to learn is quashed in a way that is totally unfair. And this documentary follows girls, four of them, as they run for office during the week and as they figure out how to navigate a world where for no reason at all, they're at a disadvantage before the first jump ball. It's a fascinating 1-2 documentary to watch. Girl State's brand new on Apple TV. Boys State is from 2020. I suggest watching Boys State first so you have a frame of reference, and then Girl State so you can have a discussion.
I suggest those parents send their kids to a real camp. Go jump in a lake, play some softball. I mean, do some color war. Do something.
Jesus. Make a friendship bracelet.
Call Top Bunk.
Archery.
It's a really cool camp, and they weren't nerds.
David,
okay.
Good talking to you.
Fly a kite.
Nothing personal. Were you telling him to go fly a kite, or were you
perhaps
telling her? I don't know which it was. Were you telling him to go to a camp and fly a kite, or were you telling him to go fly a kite?
See you later.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. Kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Libertard.
Fakes. I don't like smelly either.
Stugatz.
Women stay home in the kitchen where they belong.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Well, I said Monday I was already exhausted by the playoff Jimmy conversation, and I was just made more exhausted when I saw Heat fans, including our own Jeremy Fartbear Taché, get mad that Jimmy Butler wasn't in this NBA video promoing the playoffs.
Is playoff Jason a thing?
Nah, playoff Jason is not a thing.
Okay, Tatum, we all know it's a thing. Look at the evidence. Just ask playoff Spider.
It's not a thing.
Playoff Brunson can't deny it.
I mean...
Is that official?
Oh, wait, no.
Are you serious?
It's not a thing.
Oh, I see. You got the whole league in on this.
It's not a thing.
Come on! We finally get to see playoff Giannis play with playoff Dame. Right, Dame?
It's not a thing.
Clearly, hey, how else do you explain playoff teams going on playoff runs making everybody ask?
But is this their playoff year?
Playoff Tunchi knows it's a thing.
It's game time.
Playoff crowds are louder. Playoff cameos have more flavor. Even Chuck's playoff jokes are funnier.
No, they are not.
So grab your playoff snacks and watch some NBA playoff basketball.
Fuck out below!
Because we all know...
It's not a thing.
It's clearly a thing.
And Jimmy Butler, not in the video, even though we all call him Playoff Jimmy, but also Jimmy Butler, not in the playoffs.
Wow. What are the playoffs these days?
That's a great question.
The play-in is not a playoff. You can't
Are you
have
sure?
a play.
You
got to
play
in
for the playoff.
It's clearly an in. It's
Last
not an
night
off.
Felt like playoff
You've got,
games.
No, it's
I mean,
an in though. You got to get in before you can get off.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
but then
yeah.
before you can get off.
You got if you don't have Jimmy in this commercial, you need to just go with a different theme. Because who else in the league? Name another player
you
in the
gotta
league.
Get in. You got to get in before you can get off.
Name like another player in the league that Hell gets yeah. playoff blank.
Playoff P.
Well, people in the playoffs. Just make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I've seen Jeremy complain. I've seen Heat Twitter complain.
Yeah.
Make the playoffs.
You guys are missing the
point.
No.
See, I understand the point.
Yeah,
there's
Mike
a bunch of people
it.
Upset that a team that is presently not a playoff team isn't featured in a playoff promo.
Mm-hmm.
I understand where the lament is because, you know, playoff Jimmy is a thing.
Yeah.
Where it's not a thing for everybody else, according to this commercial.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly a thing. Well, I think it's a thing for Damian Lillard, but it's also a thing for Jimmy Butler. But it's only a thing for him if he's in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. They probably made this commercial, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
I bet they had a version where it ends with Jimmy being like,
yeah,
it is kind of a thing.
Oh, I don't
doubt.
And
they had to cut it because they're in the playoffs. See,
yeah.
no one's disputing.
See, you're getting it now.
No, but
yeah.
I think.
Oh, that's amazing.
No,
I'm so happy. We
brought
him.
My point is you
got to
punt on the entire commercial. Like, you,
oh, yeah. No, you
the whole
don't promote the playoffs because Jimmy Butler
no,
didn't
Jimmy,
get
just,
in it.
He didn't make the playoffs yet,
no,
so we can't talk about
let
them.
Let my boy cook. I think he's making a good point. The playoffs don't need promotion if the Heat aren't in it.
Don't go with the joke of playoff blank. Is this playoff blank? Because Jimmy's the only guy they do that with. Playoff P is not really a
right.
thing.
Playoff Spider.
What do you mean it's not a really a thing?
We did the thing with Playoff P.
Do you think they're having this conversation in Atlanta because Trae Young isn't featured?
Because
he's not up.
No, but
he's
they
not
would,
up.
If
you're so close.
If
he's
playoff,
you're
playoff.
So close.
You're almost there.
There
he's
it is.
Not called playoff.
There it is. It's essential to the playoff promo that people they're featuring are in the playoffs.
But if playoff Trae was a slogan, people in Atlanta would be complaining about it.
If he was in the playoffs, but he is presently not in the playoffs.
Hmm. I think the play-in is the playoffs.
It is not because there's 10 seeds.
Gotta be in to get off.
You
right.
gotta, you
gotta.
But
get
a 10
in.
Seed
gotta
could get in the playoffs.
You gotta get in to get off.
It's just, you know, Kevin Huerter is not yet, you know, well, he's hurt, but he's
playoff
not playoff
Kevin.
Kevin.
Right. His name. Yeah.
They want to use our thing. We created the playoff
Ooh.
Jimmy. This is the Heat's thing, playoff
Ooh,
Jimmy.
The Heat created the playoffs?
No, the Heat created saying playoff Jimmy.
But no one says playoff Jimmy except the Heat fans.
The Heat fans
That's
definitely
not,
created
are
making
you kidding
gripes
me?
Where there
I
are none.
I've seen Here Comes Playoff Jimmy all over ESPN.
Why doesn't regular season Jimmy show up and then you don't get in this play-in situation?
That's a valid question.
If regular season Jimmy played games,
play-in Jimmy
you could have won two more games and you could have locked in potentially a four-seed playoff Jimmy instead of a play-in game where if you lose two games, you missed the playoffs entirely because you half-assed it all season long.
I'm with you on that.
Good.
F***ing tired of it.
I'm, you know, Billy, hammer right on the nail. Like, it's
Sorry
just,
for cursing.
Why are we ripping the Heat?
You're
because
not tired of
After
it.
Tonight, they will be in the playoffs.
We know how tonight's going to go.
Yeah, they're going to win. I saw everyone on First Take pick the Sixers.
You think they're
going to
win?
Winning tonight.
Okay.
Are they going to release a new cut of this promo?
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I'm sure they would love to feature playoff Jimmy. I'm sure it makes all the sense in the world.
The idea was around Jimmy. I bet you the pitch for this entire premise was based off Jimmy.
I think the pitch was, how do we promote the NBA playoffs on the ESPN family of
now? I'm surprised they're not promoting play-in Jimmy.
Huh?
Well, who has it? Is it ESPN or TNT?
ESPN, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, no matter what, Heat fans will find their pivot. If the Sixers win, Jimmy will say something asinine that'll never stick to him again. And we'll hope to back in as an 8 seed. And then we'll do the whole Boston thing again. Yeah. Got to go through us, and we'll beat our chest over playoff Jimmy.
Is he wrong?
I'm rooting against the Miami Heat.
Oh, geez.
Wow. I'm rooting against them.
Get out of here.
I'm rooting against them.
No,
and
you're not.
And it's because of two people.
Who?
Number one is Terry Rozier. You know this.
Scary Terry.
Number two,
he's not playing tonight.
Which is actually
increasing
the positive.
Yeah. Yeah. I may actually end up rooting for them. And Jeremy Taché.
Oh.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. You know how older generations always complain about the new SNL cast? Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at with Jeremy.
Wow.
It's just, I don't know what happened to Heat Twitter, but he is the amalgamation of what it's become. Wow. And it's just... it's embarrassing.
But isn't it your fault? Didn't you?
Yes.
You created
this
monster?
I created. God's sake, I created all these things.
Like Stugatz created Bomani?
Yeah.
I found him.
I created all these things.
Who said Heat in 5 first?
Me.
Because I feel like that.
Me.
The whole Heat in 5 culture of no matter what, they're going to win, that's what I think is really at the crux of all this.
All of the Heat Twitter slogans were created by this show. They're the intellectual property of this show. It is pretty ironic to me that I'm sitting back and I see my Twitter mentions of angry Heat fans and they're using catchphrases that I created against me.
Yeah, that's how it works.
You cannot complain.
What other Heat slogans are there?
Not being featured in a playoff promo when you are not in the playoffs. Mm. This is base level stuff.
If I may, Paul George, I believe, is the one who called himself Playoff P. Can you get the Allison Turner commercial? Well, but I'm just saying, when we talk about who gets the nickname of playoff person, it is only Playoff Jimmy. And I also thought, by the way, that his whole not a thing was something that he was saying, that whole commercial is basically him. Playoff Jimmy, and I think he also said, it's not a thing, and that's the note they keep hitting on there.
In seeing that promo, though, I am pretty excited. In the event that the Heat do match up against the Celtics, and then I go right back into being my worst Heat fan self,
right.
I am totally going to isolate, is Playoff Jason a thing, and him saying, nah.
Yeah. Playoff go pee-pee.
My barber says that this is the last season of Jimmy Butler here in Miami. Yeah. So we could be facing the last
barber knows it all.
We could be facing the last two games we don't need to get into the why. But we may be facing the last two games here of Jimmy Butler here in town. So how are we going to remember the Jimmy Butler years?
Wait, just if I may, because you guys, I mean, this tonight, like I know we've gotten spoiled around here, okay? But tonight, the Miami Heat are again playing another basketball game that matters. They are the biggest underdog among the play-ins because everyone fears what the Sixers are with Embiid healthy. Tonight, the Miami Heat play a basketball game that has a lot on it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because you set up, if you win, you set up Heat Knicks, which is lovely for 2 weeks.
Yes.
It's a good deal of fun for 2 weeks. That's what you're setting up. Or if you lose, you then get into the same situation you were in last year, the same identical situation where now you've got to win a home game to get into the playoffs. And then the first series is where the conference has been won except for one detour through Milwaukee for 5 years. This conference, as soon as LeBron left it and joined what was winning over there with the Warriors, joined that side, this conference has run through this team in Boston for 5 years. And what you have tonight is a game that legitimately matters that you guys are starting with. Trade Jimmy, it's already over. And Mike Ryan is like, I'm bored by Boston. This team is. Mike was right on this is a play-in team. He said it before the season started. They played all year like a play-in team.
Can you say that one more time?
Mike Ryan was right.
Oh, damn, I might take off this nipple sticker right now and just give it a little pinch.
You have no faith, though, man. I mean, they did the same thing last year.
He did the same thing last year.
Yes.
Mike Ryan did the same exact dance last year where he was
out. And they were a playing team last year.
He was out before it started.
Finals. And look how good Wemby was.
Let me see. Well, this is another point. This is another point, Tony. It's funny that you say that, because Wemby would look real good in a Heat uniform if they had won that lottery ball last year. But I want to play for the audience. I want to see if I can get Mike Ryan fired up, Stugatz, by just taking you back to how and where and when it became Playoff Jimmy. Because the musical notes on what the playoffs are, Stugatz, you need Kevin Harlan to be there for every moment with you, to meet you at the height of those moments. How did he become Playoff Jimmy? This is kind of how it was in the bubble, but it was also this.
It's loose. The Lillard, Jimmy Butler. And Giannis was trying to call timeout, but Jimmy Butler gets up a three. Why not? Why not, Jimmy Butler? Butler's got 49 points! 14 in the fourth quarter! Giannis drives, spins, fires! No! Butler! Long shot! Good!
Okay, big takeaway from this video. That feels like it's 5 years ago.
Yes.
And it's solely because of the lift that Jimmy Butler has on his jump shots.
Yeah. No announcer in the history of announcing meets the moment like Kevin Harlan.
Playoff
Kevin.
Kevin Harlan's great.
Yeah.
But were you also stunned by the amount of lift on Jimmy Butler's jump shots? He looks like a different player.
5 feet in the air.
That is Playoff Jimmy there, and that's where the legend continued. It started in the bubble, no doubt. But last year was insane. It totally unprecedented. An eight seed having that miraculous run. This year's team, even though last year's team had a miraculous run, it showed it had the juice. This year's team doesn't, and that is because of the star. And I tend to agree with your barber, Billy.
Yeah.
I think if they
because
they
of
lose.
The lack of juice in the legs is what you're saying.
He said that Jimmy lost the team when he showed up in media day dressed up.
lost who specifically on the team?
Day. Bam. Bam didn't even want to take a picture with him. He lost Bam that day, and Riley was out. It's going after Embiid.
Dan Le Batard.
All these high-paid analysts. I don't want to mention names. TNT. ESPN, you know, they're not going to make it, you know. Even if they win if they lose in Miami.
I need to calm you down.
If they lose in Miami, they don't got a chance in Boston. Or they are going to have their ass, you know what, in Boston, you know.
Stugatz.
They were wrong. Are they going to lose their job? No. Are they going to get a cut in pay? No. What are they going to do? Keep predicting what is the obvious. They are going to say, oh, the Nuggets are going to win. Oh, Denver, the altitude. And you know what? The Heat are going to win it all.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Playoff P has been proven to work in the regular season for those who have struggled with moderate to severe postseason disappointment. It is not recommended as a first option. Do not take Playoff P while on Grainger. Side effects include choking, heaving, not finishing, constipation, finishing early, and all-around disappointment. Playoff P is not for everyone. Call your doctor if you experience susceptibility to catfishing, kissy face, Australian sensitivity, paternity suits, the inexplicable urge to play for the Lakers, or thinking that dude's butt belongs to a lady. If you experience the loss of Oladipo, please call your doctor immediately. Get headed in a new direction with Playoff P.
The West is loaded, man.
Crazy.
So the Warriors are finished, and LeBron is a threat. I mean, you have to be threatened. He's roaming. I know Mike Greenberg is saying that they should have sat to avoid Denver, and I still don't think, right, boring or droning excellence though it was, I don't think that anyone should sleep on the idea that the Denver Nuggets are kind of championship overwhelming, and I would not want to play them if I were any team in the league, Boston Celtics included.
Do you agree with Greeny? So no, they should have lost that game?
No, it's ridiculous.
Dumbest take. That was like the dumbest take I've
ever
heard.
Take. Well, let's play it out, because they would have a one-game scenario right now with Sacramento, right? That would be it? I mean, they win that game.
You can't go into a game trying to lose. Mike said something earlier about the Bruins potentially doing that last night, throwing the game because they didn't want to, whatever, the matchups. It's like, Paul Maurice spoke to this a couple weeks ago of the Panthers coach. You cannot, professional teams don't go into game. They might bench players that they want to start, but they're never going to just say, hey, our best players are out here. Try to lose today. That is just never going to happen. You might sit your stars and have the backups try.
Sure.
But there's never going to be a game with your stars out there that you're like, hey, at the very end, lose this game.
See what the Cavs did? Final game, regular season? I mean, Tristan Thompson was playing point guard.
Well, there you go. That's at least they weren't playing their guys. They're not trying to lose. They're just playing a bad lineup. It was so stupid what Green said.
16 shots on goal against Washington Capitals and like 12 throughout two periods. They just started trying midway through the third period. It was
So they tried to lose the first half of the game.
I'd be more concerned about Boston, yeah.
You don't think any team has ever seen what comes ahead for them and if they lose it's better and tried to lose?
No, I think that they may bench their starters if they want to, you know, lose a game, but they're not going to like tell you go out there and lose.
I just think that there's something subconscious that happens to the effort that is hard to quantify.
I'm not arguing that. It's just the idea of go out and lose is a ridiculous premise.
I don't think anyone says go out and lose this game unless they're tanking for a draft pick.
No one says it.
Yeah.
It's understood.
But there are certain things. And it starts from the top down. At the executive level, if they just kind of want you to lose,
it's a phone call.
The effort usually meets that.
Amino. Mark Cuban got fined for saying it's better if we lose. He got fined a substantial amount of money. I think like $500,000 or $1 million for saying it benefits us to lose. And they realized how bad a look that was. So they gave him a giant fine. They were not trying to win.
Chris, since I guess, and you're pretty rational by comparison, but in terms of Heat fans, you're the most irrational of us right now. What's the pivot?
Oh, irrational!
What's because you're complaining about someone not being in the playoffs?
If I were making a cartoon thing that was meant to symbolize irrational, that's the voice I would give.
Premise.
So the premise of them playing in the play-in tonight, if they lose that game, it doesn't stick to Jimmy if they lose the game tonight?
I don't like your premise.
What's the spin going to be if they lose to the Philadelphia 76ers?
Bam needs to get better.
I don't like being painted as this like Heat defender. I'm just saying the playoff Jimmy thing, that commercial. That's the Jimmy thing.
I agree. I would have a gripe.
What are you saying?
It's a ridiculous commercial.
Just saying.
I'm saying it's a ridiculous commercial without Jimmy. I mean,
it is.
What do you mean? We had the whole.
Why they have such a ridiculous season? That wasn't a playoff season.
That's a great question.
He said, "Find a new slogan to promo the playoffs." If you're not going to use Jimmy Butler.
Punt on that commercial if Jimmy's not in it. It's the whole thing.
I gave you the new
premise of it.
Why even give out the Larry O'Brien Trophy if it's not going to be to the Heat?
I thought I was a narcissist.
This is insane.
Well, I'll tell you what's insane. There are a number of things here that are insane. But if you've listened to this show for 15 years, to see the permutation of Heat Twitter guy go from Mike Ryan, all right, I'll allow Cortez. I'll allow Parakeet Cortez as a representative for our culture to be obnoxious and in character
the narcissist.
I'll allow him to.
He only exists because I allow it.
Twitter, but then to have it become Jeremy, who's more annoying than any of them and less charming and going for bad jokes all the time. I understand how Mike says this is not a proper representation that honors the obnoxious I tried to make of Heat Twitter.
No, he's embarrassing to me. It's I don't want to just blame millennials, but I feel like I have to.
Wow.
I'd like to dig in a little deeper here because Jeremy has been aggressively cocky lately about being not funny on purpose, and it's destructive.
He thinks he's
that charming.
Will Seeloff, though, deserved a better fate, I thought. I mean, it was good. It was clever. It was cute.
I'm saying he's making aggressively bad jokes all of the time.
This generation of Heat fans are an embarrassment to the people that brought him to the dance. I'm talking about the This Is Chuckers of the world. We were putting horse on Photoshops before you even knew Photoshop was a thing. You know, that was what we were doing.
You were born in this fire.
Someone said something bad, boom, horse penis on the head. Move on.
That's how you do it.
Tony, you're reacting as if, because I think Mike would allow you. You haven't summoned.
Oh, you picked the Pacers? Here's some buttholes for eyes. Yeah. That's what we did.
That was classic.
I would just respond, Heat in five.
They made glasses for that. David
was game six. You want to keep talking? Guess what? Entire face, butthole.
Buscemi eyes.
You were saying, Dan?
Who said that?
that there's a lane for you here, Tony, if you want to be, because I think he Twitter is usually pretty ethnic, I think, and it's loud. If you want to represent Miami like that crypto billionaire, there is something to being a charming kind of obnoxious, a clever, a self-aware kind of obnoxious.
They're all filled with Jeremys right now. Before, if someone gave the middle finger to Joakim Noah, there was probably a murder in their past that was suspicious. Guess what? That was a thing that actually happened.
That's a thing. That's a playoff Great. Thing right there. Yes. A woman gave Joakim Noah the finger. She became instantly famous. And then we checked her past and there was a suspicious murder.
Now the people giving the middle fingers are from Beta Club.
Yeah. Ugh, please, dorks.
I hate betas.
So, Dan, I feel like you're on the same page with me here. You want to get the dorks out of Heat Twitter. And I'm always for getting dorks the hell out of
there. I don't think Jeremy's a dork.
Oh, he's a dork.
He's a dork.
He's such a dork.
What are
you talking about?
You guys are just being not charming. So mean. I'm so torn, mean. Though, because he is really annoying about the Heat. Yeah. So.
And tonight, the Miami Heat play a game, Stugatz. You know we don't do very many previews around here, but we're going to be involved. We're going to be doing some stuff with All the Smoke during the playoffs where we'll pop up at night and we'll do some playoff coverage on things. Tonight would have been a good night for us to enjoy together because, wow, you got to get in to get off. This is a big night.
Right.
The play-in has been a success across.
Unless the Heat lose. And then the big night's no, that wasn't really a big
night.
It's the
next night.
We're saving our bodies for the. We wanted Boston the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see both.
That's the pivot.
I would like to see both those series, but I'm rooting right now, Stugatz. And this puts me in homer classification because I don't think. And this isn't even a knock on Miami. Like I said, they're a good road team. They're 24-17 on the road. They have no reason to be afraid of the road. OKC, that's their record on the road. Denver, that's their record on the road. The very best teams.
Right.
Miami can win this basketball game, but Philadelphia has the best player on the court. Philadelphia has been not Miami, even though it had the first round picks to be Miami in a process to be Miami. Over the last 5 years, Philadelphia has always fallen at the feet of Miami and Boston, has no answers. They've got an MVP candidate, and he does not advance beyond these teams.
Right.
Jimmy Butler played for Philadelphia. Philadelphia might have won a championship already if they hadn't chosen Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Tony's got a take here. Tony's got a take on tonight.
I'm worried. Dan, you said they have the best player in Joel Embiid, and it feels like, if all things considered, some people don't play up to the caliber of what they're playing. Yeah. Okay?
A lot of qualifiers here.
Yep.
Looks like Maxi could be the second best player on the court.
What if Maxi doesn't play well? I mean, this is a weird thing. It's like, if Jimmy doesn't play well, Maxi could be the second best.
He had a lot of qualifiers. He hedged his bets there a little bit. Yeah. But if you're going off of this season, there's no question who the two best players on the court are. It's Embiid and Maxi. But we all know what's going around Jimmy is this reserving the body for playoff Jimmy.
I want to see the 5 foot in the air jumper is what I need to see.
That's what I want to see.
Who would you rather have tonight? Would you rather have Jimmy Butler or Joel Embiid?
Joel Embiid.
Wow. Really? I'd take Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Let me just.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Playoff Jimmy.
Okay. Just back in the day, it was so refreshing. If Tony were to give that take in front of a microphone, guaranteed he would have buttholes for eyes within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
The part that I will disagree with you on, and I know that you want to make fun of me in general for a take from the middle of the Lillard sweepstakes, where I said that Tyler Hero, he was as good as Tyrese Maxey. The second best player on the court tonight, depending on how things go with all the qualifiers, because I don't know why it is that we always ignore the defensive side of the ball when doing this, is Bam Adebayo, who's on the Olympic team and is an all-world defensive player. And if the Miami Heat are to win this basketball game, it will be because they play excellent defense, as they do in the playoffs, as they always do for Spoelstra. And the key to all of that, including being able to guard Maxey in key situations because he's 6'9", and he's able to do things on the perimeter that no other defender can do with a coach that can do things with him that cannot be done with any other defender. Maxey is not better than Bam Adebayo. I don't know why you guys always ignore defense, especially this time of year.
Hmm.
Well, because what kind of Bam are we going to get? Are we going to get a Dries or are we going to get Bam? There's a lot of questions, Dan. There's a reason why there's a lot of caveats because there's a lot of questions.
A big game.
Big game.
Unless the Heat lose, then
Not a big game.
Look, it's if they win, you keep with this playoff Jimmy mantra and you talk yourself into ridiculous things because we saw them do something fairly ridiculous. But if they lose, please, just the core. Yeah. Toss it out.
Wow.
I'm done.
Go again. He's been doing that for 2 years.
Wow. They have a home
done
game
talking about
nights.
Is Bam going to find the guts? I'm done talking about it. I'm done trying to wait around and see if I can trust Duncan Robinson. I'm done trying to figure out if Tyler Hero is going to be healthy or not for a stretch. I'm done having these conversations
with this. I'm putting buttholes on you, Mike. Buttholes on
Whoa.
You.
Whoa. Buttholes on you.
Buttholes on you.
It's a game tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That escalated quickly.
Entire premise.
Gotta get in to get off.